Amen. Amen. Well, you know, the first thing I do when I come up, I ask us, first of all, let's just give God praise, because that's where I'm at. Always, before we do anything else, we've heard the exhortation, but we don't just go away from that. We stay there because, you know, that's what God wants us to do. When we get that nuggets, when we get those things to impart within our heart, we take it deep. And so we don't just take and patty cake it. We don't just allow it just to kind of hear it and then slide away, but we hear it and let it sink deep. And then we just continue to practice that so that that word is set deep within our heart, so that when we leave here, that fire that we're talking about burning continues to burn even in the midnight hour. So that early in the morning, we can arise and say, Burton and Arkita, early in the morning. Amen. Well, praise God. You may have your seats. Thank you, Lord, for opportunity and privilege of being here. And I thank God first for being my Lord and, you know, Savior of all things. And I thank my pastor for allowing me the opportunity and privilege of even being here. And then my lovely bride always with me. And tonight, the Lord gave me something been burning in me for a few weeks. But he gave me a title called The Journey of Learning, The Journey of Learning to Trust God. And because, you know, it's not just something that's automatic. It's not just something we do that brings something automatic into our lives that we just trust in God. Because many people, you can walk out and say, well, you trust God? Yes, I do. There have been times God asked me, do I trust him? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, no, you don't. But what God does, he allows you to go through some things and some issues of life so that you learn how to trust God. We never get to the place of fully trusting the way that God would desire us to, but what happens is God allows us to go through things at times where we're learning how to trust God. Well, my journey began way back with my oldest child who was catching the bus one morning and ended up going out and was crossing the street, and a car came around the house, behind the bus, hit her, knocked her up in the air, and Tanya landed on her head, and the bone split through her leg. And it was then, Tanya didn't know the Lord at that time, and God woke me up that morning, and it was the same morning I found out that my first wife had cancer, the same day. And the Lord told me to go and tell my daughter, say, tell her because I love her, I'm keeping her. And since that time, she has come to know the Lord. After that, a little after that, 1992, as I started being a part of the ministry, my baby daughter, Angela, age 21, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Came home and told me that she was having these problems, and we took her to the hospital in Grady, and they told me that she had this brain tumor. And how many of you know the hardest thing that you can do is have a child look you in your face, standing in the middle of a building, and tell you, Daddy, I'm afraid, and there's nothing you can do. All you can do is encourage them to trust God. And so as she went on her preparing for her journey, she one day told me, she said, Daddy, you're afraid, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm okay, I'm all right. She said, no, you're not, but I am. And consequently, she transitioned and go home to be with the Lord. 4 years later, my first wife also had lung cancer. She transitioned home to be with the Lord from lung cancer. And it was at that period in time that I began to question God. I said, Lord, apparently whatever I've done in my life, something I've done, you don't like me because you ain't healing nobody in my family. Everybody in my family is just, you know, they're just going on. So you don't like me, and I don't know what I've done. And I got on, I got on I-20 and was headed to this church to get off at I-20 when the Evans Mill was right up here before they put the new one. I was coming to tell the church, I'm out of here because, you know, ain't nothing working. Because my question was, where's the power? Where is the power that God talks about in the body of Christ? Where is that power? It says, if there be any sick among you, take them to the elders, they may anoint them with oil. lay hands upon them and they may be saved. And all that. I mean, we did all of that. The elders came over and all of these things were done. But my family still transitioned on, and I was very upset. But God began to deal with me, and of course, I had to turn the vehicle around before I got here and head back home. Well, a few years later, the Lord blessed me, standing at the back of the gym to see this wonderful young lady that was there, and she said, you know, what's wrong with me? Nobody wants to date me. And I said, I don't understand, because you're a very beautiful woman. And I looked at her, and I said, I forgot where I was going. You know, I was headed to, I was working here at the time, and I was supposed to be headed to Home Depot, but I feel that's where I was going. But I couldn't make it there because I saw her, and I turned around and came back in. Well, we were here, they had a concert here for young people one night, and Mr. Carroll came to me, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm interested in this young lady. And she says, Nakita? I said, yeah. She said, you might need to go talk to Greg. I said, what? You might need to go talk to Greg, because you apparently don't know the story behind her. So anyway, I went and talked to Pastor Greg at that time and told him what I was interested in. And of course, come to find out there was a difference in age and all of these things, but I went to Pop Martin, and he began to let me know that if God has said this is to be, it should be. How many of you know when God has a plan above what you even thinking about, you may not even be thinking about one thing. All I'm thinking about is that this is a woman that I love. I love the girls. I mean, I knew she had three girls. Matter of fact, her oldest daughter came to the maintenance room. And she prophesied, she spoke to me and said, you're going to marry my mama. And I'm going, I didn't know a mama. And she said, you're going to marry my mama. So anyway, we end up getting married. Praise God. Well, along the way, in 04, woke up one morning, and she told me, she said, feel like I got fluid in my head. And I said, honey, what's going on? And so we called the ambulance, and they came. And I had to learn at that point when God starts a miracle, it's not always when you think the miracle started, because several times I was saying the miracle started once she got to the hospital. But the Lord had me to understand the miracle started the minute that I recognized that she had something going on that needed to be addressed. She passed out. I began to pray for her. She came back, the ambulance came, picked her up, said, well, we're not getting the siren on, we're not going to this hospital, that hospital, and they left our residence and went the long way around. And once we got to Eastside, they said they went in, they did the CAT scan, they found out she had a ruptured blood vessel and another one about to burst. Then they got busy, and then they rushed her to Emory. Well, God had already started to work. The doctor at that time said, he says, okay, he was getting ready to go on vacation, the head of that department. He said, no, I'm going to wait. I want to do the surgery. I want to do it all myself. So he stayed, and he did the surgery. And everything we thought went well. And they came to me and said, well, in a few weeks, she'll be home. 3 weeks later, a couple days later, they came and said, well, listen, we got to go back in, cut her skull open, it's swelling, da-da-da-da-da. A lot of things went on. Well, came back, she had the surgery, went into a coma. Was in a coma for 3 months. They came to me after that and they said, get the family together. But I said, because what's going to happen? They says, if she stays in the coma, she's going to transition out of here. And if she comes out, she's going to be a total vegetable. And I told them, I said, is at that point, it was like the Spirit of the Lord rose up in me. And I said, no more. I said, it's not going to happen. My wife is living well. But we went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, anyway, I came home, and I prayed, and I was headed up 285, got to Peachtree Industrial, and the Lord vividly said to me, as had me to pull over, he says, at that point, he says, do you trust me? And I said, Lord, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. You haven't trusted me since your first wife passed. But when this is done, you will know how to trust me. He said, I'm going to give you the name of her miracle. The name of her miracle will be the miracle of completion. He said, now, why are you headed to the hospital? Now, you know, when our loved one's in the hospital, what's the first thing we do? We run to the hospital, right? I mean, that's what we do. God says, if you trust me, turn this vehicle around, go home and prepare for her homecoming. Even though she's still in a coma, I had no resolve. I says, okay, I turned the vehicle around, went back home, and began to look for some of the things that she wanted to have done, and began to prepare for her to come home. And I didn't know when, where, how any of those things was going to happen. Well, God told me to go home, so that's what I did. He took me to Mark 11, is where he took me at that point. Let me get over here. Mark 11, starting at verse 20 through 24. And Pastor Greg was mentioning on this a few weeks ago, and I said, okay, he just right there in some of the things the Lord has showed me. So I know it wasn't them, but the Lord says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And that was the point he first showed me. He says, have faith in God. He says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And the part that he showed me was, he says, and does not doubt. He highlighted that for me. Because we can quote the scripture, you know, anything we pray, we ask in the name of Jesus, we shall have it. But there's a key part to that. He said the key component to that is you have to not doubt. For if you doubt, then you kind of mess up what God is trying to show you. So he told me, he says, don't doubt. Just understand that whatever you're asking in my name, it's going to be done. Well, at that point, I had to learn, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust him in spite of no matter what it looks like. And believe me, when I walked in the room and I look at my wife, all them wives and everything hooked up to her and all this stuff going on, I mean, it's hard when you look at that kind of situation. Your first response is, hey, this not looking good. And then I can't come in the house and I hear people saying, boy, she sure looked bad. She sure looked bad. But my response was, I believe what God says. Miracle of completion. It will be done. But meanwhile, we go on, and she ends up going into different nursing homes and different things, different places, and she was aggravated and all kind of, lost all kind of weight. So in 05, it was time, we ran out of insurance, time to bring her home. So we brought her home, and she was paralyzed completely on the left side. Had a feeding tube in, catheter in, and a wound vac. Because what happened with the wound vac was, it was another story, while she was at the nursing home, one of the nurses on a Thursday night came to me and said, Mr. Marshall, they're not cleaning your wife. And you need to know about that. Because it's developed a bed sore. And we seen the bed sore that was being developed in her back. Well, that nurse was killed that same night. That same night before she got home, that nurse was killed. And the nursing home, they came to me, and then, of course, they wanted us to come in and, of course, stay with the family and pray because they knew that we were a people of God and we were trusting God and so forth and so on. But anyway, we brought my wife home, and she was just out of there. Well, you know, when you want God to do something, what's some of the things you do? You cry, you beg. You plead. You know, something Pastor said about a few months ago, he said, don't be God. Don't be God. But at the time, I didn't know that. I was in the bed. I'm laying on the floor. Oh, God, please, please bring my baby home. Oh, I'm tired. I don't know what to do. And the Lord said to me, he looked at me, he says, son, I see you there crying, and that's okay. But your tears don't move me. And I got up, dried my face, went on, and I says, okay, Father, well, what moves you? He said, the only thing that moves me that I'm responsible for is my word. Whatever my word has said I would do, that's all I'm obligated to do. So when you trust my word, then I move according to the plan of my word. I said, okay, I got it. So I said, I'm gonna start trusting the word. And so I had to learn faith. What is faith? Faith is believing what God said. So I said, I'm gonna do that. So then he began to show me, he says, as you trust my word, I'm gonna do some things. And so he would wake me up at 2 o'clock every morning I would get up. And I would go into my little room and pray. And sometimes he wouldn't say anything, sometimes he would. And then finally, about 3 or 4 weeks, I didn't hear anything. And I jumped up and I went in there, and the Lord said, and I said, Father, Father. And he finally says, what is it, son? I says, you didn't call me this morning. He said, do you know how blessed I am in what you just said? The fact that you wanted to spend time with me and I didn't have to call you. So many times we want God to do for us, and we are calling after him and we are going after him because we want those specific things done, but we haven't really learned to trust God or to go after God the way he wants us to. And so we just go in to hear what we want him to hear, what we have to say, and not to respond to what he has to say. We don't listen. So I had to learn the hardest part of prayer is listening to God. Because so many times in this microwave society, we'll run in, pray, put our agenda out there. Okay, Lord, here's what I want, da 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 da. Here's what I need, here's what I gotta have. And then, bam, I'm up and I'm gone. Because I figure, well, he heard my prayer, and I said in the name of Jesus, and I said, if y'all will be done, so I know that's what I'm gonna have. Well, the Lord had to show me, no. Sit still in the presence of God and wait to hear what he has to say. And then later, as we went on from that point, the Lord began to show me James 5 again. This time, it was a totally different level. When he took me to James 5, it says this, starting at verse 13, if is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing song. Is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. And I did all that. I said, well, you know, Lord, I did all that with my daughter and my wife, and nothing happened. And it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. But the very next line was my key, was my breakthrough. The line says, and the Lord will raise her up. I put her in place of him. The Lord is going to raise her up. It wasn't going to be the doctors. It wasn't going to be the elders. It wasn't going to be the people praying. It says, and the Lord, when you've done all the, put all the things in place that I've called you to put in place, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. And God says, now that you've done all those things, you got all the parameters in place, here's what I'm going to do. I'll raise her up. I says, I got that thing. I jumped up, went in the room, got some oil, anointed her with oil, and she couldn't have understand. I said, guess what, honey? God himself is coming in this room. I said, the Lord will come in this room. And I prayed over, anointed with oil. That didn't happen right away. But in 2005, going into 2006, everything ended. We had no more money. Insurance was done. We came, had a benefit here at the church. And God, I just said, okay, Lord, where are we at now? And the Lord said to me the night when we left here, he says, my time. I want no man's hand to touch what I'm about to do. In January of 06, the Lord came in and pulled something off every week. Not the doctors, not the nurses, not anyone. God came into the room and he pulled something off from her every week. And before the 2005 2006 school year was complete, my wife was back at work on a walker. Before the 2006 and 7 school year started, she's back to work with Dr. Walker. God says, what he's doing it, is going to be complete. Remember, the name of the miracle is the miracle of completion. He's completing it. He's doing the work. But I had to trust him beyond all things. And as he gave me these wonderful young girls and my family. And I love my family. What happened, the Lord began to show me the baby girl from my daughter, name is Christina. She took my last name and put it on her high school diploma. But God showed me something past that. He says, she will be the one what your heart longed for even when your daughter was sick. You thought you lost your daughter, she's not gone. Here's your daughter. And she stands in that gap of my baby daughter, even though all of them are my children, all of them I love, all of them are very dear to me. But Christina was the one that God allowed me to understand would be the one that I would declare would be just like Angie. Act like her, do all the things like Angie did. So I had to learn that, okay, Lord, we're going this far. What's next? What's the next phase? Well, while we were waiting, one thing, Miss Reggie came, they all came over to the house one day and they had this cookout. And the Lord began to show me Moses crossing the Red Sea. And what he showed me was that while the people of God were trying to cross, they came to the Red Sea and they saw this big body of water. Now, you know, at dark, you can't tell what's happening out there in the water. You don't know what's going on. Well, what the Lord did, he took that light, and what did he do? He moved it to the back. The angel moved to the back. One in darkness, one in light. And he said, what he showed me was, he said, see, what I'm showing you is the people of Israel were put in a place of rest if we would learn how to rest in the midst of our troubles. A lot of times we don't know how to rest in our troubles. We have troubles, we have problems. One of the first things we'll do is we'll run from here to there. You know, you have people running from church to church, place to place, doctor to doctor, here, there, everywhere. Why? Because they want a release. They need the breakthrough. They need something. They need God to do something. But God says, what I want you to do is learn how to rest in me. So what he did, he told the children of Israel, if you just stay in that place of darkness, your problems, your troubles are behind you. The light is showing on your troubles, and you will see them no more. They are behind you. They are gone. You don't have to worry about them anymore. All you don't have to worry about what's going on that had happened with Narcita, what had happened in your life. Right now, I'm taking you across all of your troubles on dry land. I'm taking you across this what you thought is going to be rough, going to be hard, because you were in a place where you were just being withdrawn. You were being in a place where you were struggling, a place where you were fighting, a place where you were doing all those things. But God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all of your problems. I'm going to highlight them so you can see them no more. But then I'm going to take you and I'm going to allow you to go over and you will be where on the dry land in a place where safety abides in the arms of the Lord. So I had to learn faith was something that the Lord wanted to teach me and teach all of us, that we have to learn to trust God. You see, so many times we don't trust God. We say that, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe in what you're saying. And we'll quote them. We'll declare that. And so many times that'll happen. That'll be spoken. But yet, the minute something kind of stirs us the wrong way, we move out of that place where God has said, stand still. He told the children of Israel, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What does he tell us? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You don't have to run. You don't have to beg. You ain't got to plead. He says, stand still. And you will begin to see If you are pressing in to see the will of God, to see the purpose of God, to see the plan of God, if you are doing that on a consistent basis with a heart that is going after God, yet believing what God has said, God said, I'll show you what I have for you. And what I have for you is greater than what you even thought. Why? Because my word has to perform that what I said I'm going to do. See, so many times we get out and we don't understand what God's word has really said because we have our own agendas. We have our own mindset. We have our own thoughts. We have our own ways we want to approach things. And God is saying, listen, healing is going to be done. You know, even now during this season where we are pressing in for revival. And he began to show me, he says, even now, revival is already in the heart of the people. It's already there. It's just being germinated. It's just being stirred. It's being turned up so that those that are crying out to seek the heart of God, you're going to see what you've been praying for. You're going to see it. Why? Because you're trusting his word. You're not trusting what you want based upon his hand. There was a prophet that came here a few months ago that said, it's going to be done because it's been spoken out of the mouth. Signs, wonders will be that has been spoken out of the mouth of the holy prophet. Those are the things that will come to pass. We're going to see those things. We will see the fruitfulness of what God has for us if we learn one thing is to stand still and to see what God is saying to do. But so many times, I mean, you know, like my heart was saying, Lord, why don't we pray? Why is it that it seems so hard for me at times to pray? Or why don't we pray as you are desirous to? He said, because you feel like you're hearing my word, you're seeing it, you're hoping in it, but you don't trust it. When you trust something, it's very little effort for you to hold on to that. When you see something that you trust, if God says, go left, and you go left and you get what you're looking for, guarantee one time, all God got to do is speak the next time and you're doing exactly what he said to do. But if God said, go left, and you waiting, you go left, and nothing happened. You go left, nothing happens. You go left, nothing happens. And you keep standing there and moving and nothing happened. What's the first thing you have? But maybe this ain't working. Maybe this ain't working. Maybe the word that's coming out of this house is not working. Maybe the people in the leadership is not working. Because I said that. When my wife, first wife, was sick, I said, man, the leaders of this house, they're carrying no authority, no power. But it wasn't the leaders. It was me. You see, so many times, it's us that are causing the things of God not to come to fruition because we want to rush the process. We want to rush what God wants from us and what he wants us to do. We want to rush it. We want to go out, oh, I need it now. Because, see, we're in this microwave society where God, where people say, well, you know, if I pray for it, I get it now. If I ask for it, I get it now. If I see it, you can get cars, you can get houses, you can get whatever. I can do it now. But God says, no, there's some things I'm telling you, wait. Just stand still. Stand still and wait on what I have for you. And when we do that, we're going to get the benefits above all that God could even begin to think. And then God says, what I want to do is, I want to bring you to that place where you are my friend, where you are that person that I know who you are. See, I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, they said, well, part of you talking about knowing the name of God. I said, well, God knows your name, but he don't know you because you're not doing what God called you to do. He knows your name, but that's all he knows about you. You see? Sometimes we know God's name, but do we know God? Are we arising early in the morning to seek his face, as Pastor Greg just said? Are we really asserting ourselves and saying, Lord, in this place of worship, in this place of seeking your face, I'm going to stay. I'm going to seek you for who you are and what you are. Why? Because all I want is you. See, when all I want is you and I don't want that what presents to look like you, then God says, I'm going to give you nothing of a duplicate. What you'll get is the realness of who I am, and it won't be a microwave. It won't be something that just pops up. It's going to be something that's going to be steadfast and remain, and you won't be moved out of place. See, when we get those things from God, God has something that is everlasting. It doesn't change. God's plan and purpose for us is from everlasting to everlasting. You understand? So here's what God is saying. When I call you to that place of faith, just faith again, believing in what God has said. God says, when you do that, when you find that place where I've called you to be, you're going to see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that you have been praying for. Why? Because you are faithful and true in believing him for what his word has said, and his word does not change. God said it's going to be so, it's going to be so. Always remembering time spent with God, how important prayer is, and the ability to listen to God more than yourself. So many times we listen to ourselves than we listen to what God is saying. You know, what do I want? What do I need? I need a wife. Or I need a job. I need a car. I need a house. I need this or that or the other. But what if God said, no, you don't need that? That's not something I have for you right now. Lord, what do you want from me? Remember when I said, God says, I see you crying, but your tears don't move me. It's only according to what God's word has said. So pastor's been teaching us here lately is to do what? To pray God's word back to God. Is that right? That's what we've been taught. So if we're learning, Lord, we want to come after you. We want to be and get all that you have for us so that you are glorified above everything else. See, we don't want anything that doesn't glorify God. We shouldn't want anything that doesn't magnify who he is. See, because what God is doing in this hour, he's preparing a people, and everybody's not going to get it. He's preparing a people that will enter into that place to do what he has called us to do. And thank you, Lord. Romans 11? I think it is. Where it talks about there's a group of people, a remnant. I think that's what I'm looking for. Anyway, what it was saying, that's fine. Where it talks about the prophet that said, Lord, they're killing all of the prophets, and there's none left but me. And God says, no, I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal. But then God said, but at this present time, I have a remnant that I'm preparing in this place of what will be able to do what I've called him to do. See, God, everybody's not getting the word of God. Everybody's not getting that what God has sent from heaven. Everybody's not getting the plan and the purpose of God, because if they were, then what we would see in this house is a full and packed house. Everybody's not getting it. So what happens is, God says, I'm preparing a group, a special group set of people, my own army, to be able to go forth to carry this word of God to this dying world that don't mind being persecuted, don't mind being put down, don't mind being going through all of the things that they have to go through for his glory to be revealed. See, God is not going to allow things to be done in a way where we are just going to waltz right in. You know, it's just going to be an easy transition into all of the things we want. You know, there's testing that has to come. There's purification that has to come. God has to clean up and make whole that what he has in plan and in purpose. And in doing that, how does he do it? He allows us to go through things. And when we go through them, it's God watches from heaven to see how we do it. Do we do it by just moaning and groaning with our lips all out, bent all over, and, oh, Lord, why me, why me? Or do we rejoice and say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to be chosen by you to be tested in a way where I would go through this praising you. See, when you go through the test, like Doug was saying, he's gone through the test. So he has reason now to praise God. And now God can say, listen, he's praising me on the after the test. And so now God says, I know I can trust you because you didn't get out of the place, before the test was complete. So many times we get out of the way before God has completed the test. We get put behind. We miss what God has for us because we have put in our hearts that we want to do it ahead of God's plan. And God says, no, here's what I want to do. I want you to get to a place of knowing that what my plan and purpose for you is to stay focused on the way I'm leading you. I'm leading you through the desert, through the sharp places, through the rough places. And when you come out on the other side, you will be in the land flowing with milk and honey. That's what God's calling us to be and to do. He's calling his people to get at a place where we're seeking him early, where we're seeking him all the time, where we don't mind running into the house of the Lord for prayer, where we don't mind filling this house with our praise. And, you know, it doesn't take a tongue or something hard to pull the praise up out of us. Why? Because we have experienced who God really is. See, when you've experienced God, when you've been in the presence of God, listen, there is no way you can remain silent. There's no way you can remain calm. There's no way you can remain the same. There's no way you can act like, well, I'm just here for me, my four, and no more. You can't do it because being in the presence of God, it changed Moses. It changed his whole continent. It'll change you when you're in his presence. And so what God is saying, we have to learn to trust him. The journey of trusting God along the way, getting in his presence, staying in his presence, and saying, okay, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want to show me? And then God will show you himself in a way where when you come out and begin to move in that way, God will allow you to be that instrument in his hand to produce the things that we've been praying for, souls of men. Because it's not about houses, it's not about the car. Listen, our heart should be, the harvest is plentiful. So we want to see the harvest become unplentiful. We don't want to see it increase, we want to see it decrease. Well, if the harvest is decreasing, where are they going? Where are the people that are decreasing going? Because when we look around, and Pastor said this one Sunday, and it hurt my heart so bad. He said, Lord, let not these empty seats be an indictment against us. Let it not be an indictment against us. What does that mean? That means that we need to be about the business of the kingdom. And that is, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do this microwave moving around anymore. I'm not going to do this thing of just jumping and doing my own thing. I'm going to be serious about what you want. I want to bathe myself in your presence. I want to wash myself in the holiness of who you are. I want you to do the work that you call me to do so that I can see the fullness of this time. And God is going to bring his glory into place. And see, what we want to do is see this house filled with the glory of the Lord. We want to see it filled in such a way. See, we understand that the presence of the Lord doesn't leave here. He is here. So now if he's here and we are here, are we doing what he's called us to do to bring others alongside of us so that they can be here? See, somebody needs to be about the business of the kingdom. God gave the commandments, and we need to be so alert. Listen, we're going to go through testing. We're going to go through trials. Many tests, many trials. But what is the most important, as we remain humble, as we remain broken before God, as we remain yielded to do his work, to do his will, listen, God is going to show up in such a powerful way like never before. We're going to see healing. We're going to see deliverance. We're going to see a move of God. Praises that's going to ignite the fire. You know, one of the things that I began to think about earlier, and I was thinking, you know, the youth group that started worshiping called itself Fresh Fire. Now, what happened, and I told a couple of them, I said, listen, don't let the fire go out. Well, what we have to do, we have to be those igniters to make sure the fire don't go out. We have to help them stay in place so that the fire does not go out, that it burns bright, because we need to see a fresh fire burning in this house. We need to see that. And the only way we're going to see that is if we are obedient to the will of God, doing the purpose of God, that we learn to trust God. When you learn to trust God for who he is and what he has said he'll do, listen, the magnitude of what God will do is like never before. You will experience him the power of God. I mean, can you imagine what it was like when Peter walked the streets and just his shadow fell upon those and they were healed? He didn't even have to touch them. you know, the shadow just fell on them and they were immediately healed. I mean, why is that not us? Why is that not happening in the body of Christ today? Why aren't we able to see the manifestation of the power of God? It's because one of the things we're not doing, you know, it begins in prayer. We have to become the house of prayer. We have to become the people of prayer. We got to become the people that are saying, Lord, I hear your voice early in the morning. Early in the morning, I'm going to seek your face. And as I seek your face, I'm going to be obedient to your voice. As I hear your voice, I'm going to rush. You ain't got to call me. Lord, you ain't got to get on the 911. You ain't got to get on the 411. You ain't got to get on the phone to call me. All you got to do is but whisper. And I hear your voice, and I will arise early in the morning and run to spend time with you. It's not about some type of a chore that we are doing this. You know, people think that when we get on, I was sharing with somebody, not a member of this house, about why we get up in the morning and pray from 6 to 6:30. And I said, it's not just a chore, but it's a love affair. You know, when I was dating Narcita, and she said one thing she knew and had noticed is, you didn't call her late at night, you didn't call her early in the morning. Because she had to have that time where she was spending with God, but you know, she had to understand what was your agenda. Well, what is our agenda? Why aren't we getting up early in the morning spending time with God, spending that precious time so that he is hearing our voice early in the morning. So we'll begin to cry out to him. We'll begin to shout out to him. And then listen, when we begin to see the sign, when we begin to see the wonders, here's what's going to happen. We'll then begin to magnify his name in praise. See, praise is not just what we do. It's who we are. And if we're going to praise God from the innermost to the outermost, then what's going to happen is I'm going to praise him every time I see somebody that is moving, that may have been hurting, that had a headache, or whatever. You see, because I'm concerned about the souls of men. I'm concerned about whatever's going on in the lives of others so that we can see this house filled. We can see this place filled with people who want to know what we are getting. And see, when you got a gift that's so precious and it doesn't cost you anything, you don't mind giving it away. Now, if it was costing you some money, costing you some stuff, then I can understand the reluctance of our hearts that want to hold back and say, well, you know, maybe I don't have the money at this time. But we have a gift that's been embedded in our hearts, a gift of praise, a gift of worship that we can give to the world that they will come to know the Lord. And then we're going to see the fruitfulness of that because we're going to see what God has for us. God has so much for us. You know, the word of God said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, that what the Lord has in store for us. Listen, the only way we're going to get that is when we're willing to do what we're supposed to be doing. It doesn't come just by wishing, you know, we can't get out there, I wish I might. That won't get it. That won't happen. You know, it's going to come by knee service. It's going to come by spending that time where the Lord will say, you know, you blessed my heart this morning. I didn't have to call you. You had a desire to get up early this morning and come into my presence to seek my face, that you may know me and know me for who I am and what I desire. And listen, just as it happened with me and happened with Narcita, I believe that it's going to happen even more in this house. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see signs. We're going to see wonders that are spoken out of the mouth of the Holy Prophet. Not because so we can feel good about it, because one of the things I will say about that was I told the Lord this. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you're going to heal her for me and for this family so that we can feel good about it, I said, don't do it. I said, take her home. I said, because I don't want anything that doesn't bring glory to you. I want what you're going to do for you to be glorified. So when you heal her, you get all the glory. When you heal her, you get all the praise. When you heal her, the miracle can't be called Bert and Arquita's miracle. It's called your miracle. So the miracle was for this house. The miracle was for Cross Culture Church, that the people of God could radiate in the fact that God is still in the miracle-working business. He is still in the miracle-working business. He's still doing that what he promised he would do from beginning of time. He says, I love you so much, I'm willing to do all the things that I promised I would do because you are that, you're my people, you're my friend, and he loves us. But we have to do something. It doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't just come because we all of a sudden say, well, I go to church. I sit in the pews. I'm here on Sunday. I'm here on Wednesday. Or I come to Wednesday through the week prayer. That doesn't get it. That's not the antidote. The antidote is a heart that is pure and say, Lord, I'm surrendering everything I have to you. I want you above everything else. When you want God more than you want life itself, and that song that we sing, what, as the deer that panteth after water, so my soul panteth after thee. When we want God more than we want anything else, we will see the fullness of what God has for us. But until that time, we can't get what God has, fullness of that. We're just getting little droplets. Every now and then he'll drop a little here. He'll drop a little here. Why is he doing it? He says, I just want you to know I'm still here. I want you to know I'm still able to give. I'm able to do. I'm able to heal. I'm able to deliver. I'm able to set free. I'm able to bring you out of depression. I'm able to bring you here and there and all of these things. I'm able to do that. But it's going to take us desiring and say, Lord, I love you so much. I love the fact that God says, you can bring all of your cares, bring all of our cares before him and lay them at his foot. But what happens so many times, after we lay them there and we walk away, we say, okay, Lord, you need some help. Let me go back and pick up what I bought in and carry it back because it needs a little more work. I need to pray over a little bit more. I need to do that. Well, God has already, if you believe what God has said, he said, bring them and leave them. You know, we would be so freed up if we learn to do what God says do and trust what his word says. Trust his word. Bring your cares. Bring your problems. Bring your hurts and all of those things. And God says, what I do, I will deliver. I will make whole. And I will show you a side of my love that you've never seen before. People of God, we need to see the hand of God move. We need to see the love of the Lord move like never before. Too many people are dying. Even in our own neighborhood last week, where we had those 10 children that was at the front of our neighborhood that were shot. You know, too much is going on. We need to see the hand of God move. And we got our, what hurts me even more, we got our own leadership being attacked daily, sickness. It shouldn't be. You know, we should be in position to prevent, we can't prevent things, but we can sure pray about it and get them out of here. We can get them out of here if we trust God. But if you don't trust God, God's not going to take you to the second grade when you haven't passed the first grade. God's not going to take you and move you to the next level. You know, they say level to level, glory to glory, level to level. God's not going to move you to the next level if you haven't accomplished what you need to do on the first level. So we need to be about doing the things that God's called us to do. Amen? Amen. I want to encourage all of us, first of all, we're going to pray, but, be sincere in your prayers. We want to just truly trust God. If you're at a place in your life where you really don't know if you know how to trust God, and that was something in my heart, is that if we really don't know, it's okay to ask. And we're in the perfect place to ask, to get that encouragement. So I'm asking if there's anyone who really just said, listen, I just need to know how to really trust God. I've been going through this thing, struggling and dealing with some issues. I just really need to know how to trust God. If you just want to have us to pray with you this evening, we would love to do that. We would love to just pray and encourage you so that you will be able to stand, because I'm going to tell you, the enemy is still coming. And when you leave this place today, he's still coming. And if you don't know how to trust God, what will happen a lot of times, people will run because they have no other recourse. They don't know any better. They'll run from here to there. But here's what God said. Listen, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He didn't say run. He didn't say jump up and down. He didn't say lift up your hands. He said stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So if there's anyone here who would love for us just to pray with, in that regards, we would love to just pray with you. and to encourage you so that you would be empowered even the more to be able to trust God in this walk that we have yet ahead of us. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just stand. And, you know, one thing I do believe in, if God sent a word, even if, you know, I just trust that he sent a word, let's pray. Let's thank him. Let's give him thanks. Let's just give him not a hand clap of light worship. Let's give him a round of praise like he deserves, because it's him. It has nothing to do with any man, any person. Let's give God the thanks and the praise that's due his name, because he's the one that's worthy. He's the one that deserves it. He's the one that needs to receive the glory that due his holy name. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and for what you're revealing and what you're doing and how you're working in our hearts and in our lives, how we're being transformed and made new in you, made refreshed in you, so that you can do the work that is empowering us to go forth to carry out this very vision of this house, to carry out the plans that you have placed within each and every one of us. So, Lord, have your way this evening. And, Lord, we'll give you all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor, and all of the majesty, all of the dominion, and all of the power. It belongs to you and you alone. Have your way, and we'll magnify your name tonight, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. We'll give you the praise that belong to you in Jesus' glorious name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to your only living and true all-wise God. Thank you, Lord. And there's anyone who may not know the Lord, we don't ever want to overlook that fact. If anyone here, and I believe everybody I see is belong here, if there's anyone here who don't know the Jesus that we're talking about, the God that we've been expounding upon, you know, we're more than welcome to come, and we'll pray for you and just to encourage you even the more to be able to stand in the midst of this hour. Amen. Amen.